Welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor report in exile with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Later in this program, we'll have excerpts from a recent meeting in New York City calling for justice for immigrant workers who lost their jobs or loved ones in the World Trade Center disaster. But first,
I'm very pleased to be with Maqbool Bahdi, who is a labor videographer, a human rights activist, and particularly sensitive about issues of organizing labor, and is indeed from Pakistan. Thank you for speaking with Building Bridges in Exile.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure for me to be here and to be able to talk to you.
One of the things that happened, I believe it was November 19th, there was a significant strike in Pakistan. Most people here are very ignorant as to the level of social organizing and labor organizing. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what actually is happening with the trade union movement in Pakistan and any information you have about the legacy of that strike, since I understand that people were both beaten and imprisoned and tortured.
This strike was partly labor, and partly the strike was some of the political parties getting together against the unconditional support of Musharraf to the United States government and to the war. Many of the people were arrested, and some of the people involved in the Labor Party was arrested. This led up to, because we certainly condemn any mad people destroying other innocent human beings, whether they are Americans or origin or some other origin or Palestinian origin or Israeli origin, but we cannot just go unconditionally going to support something which we don't know how it will unfold. Also because the choices that were offered to us that we understood through television were either you are with us or you're not with us. And we thought that yes, certainly we are with you because we think that killing innocent people is bad. But then lots of other innocent people begin to die, and we suddenly realize that how could we be against innocent killing people and yet be with the United States and then support kind of innocent people. And that was a little confusing and soul-searching, and many of the people came out and wanted to express their opinion about it. And that led to this that strike.
We're approaching a different period right now with the fall of Kandahar. I'm assuming that there'll still be what they might call mopping up operations in Afghanistan. But how will this affect, more importantly from this standpoint, how will this affect what's happening with the working class in Pakistan?
We do not know how the war would unfold, really. History tells us that anybody who's gotten into Afghanistan has really got bogged down. And we don't even understand in Pakistan at least the agenda of this war. What are we going to achieve and is going to replace this present situation? We know this, that Afghans, like everybody else in that area, are our brothers, and they are suffering very much now. Innocent people are dying. We have 3.5 million refugees into Pakistan, which has already put a lot of burden on our very scarce resources that we have in Pakistan. And of course, specifically working class, if you talk about, there were a lot of high unemployment in Pakistan as it is before 9/11, but now with exports going down, with economic situation even worsened than it was before, local consumption very low, and a lot of refugees coming in, the situation has worsened really, and working class is just in a very bad shape just now. We are not producing very much, we are not exporting very much, a lot of people have been laid off, and that's a bad situation. Of course, there are promises of support and help coming from the United States and other so-called coalition partners. But as we have already $38 billion of debt that we are in, and that money has to be paid back, and everything becomes more and more expensive as government continues to levy new taxes to pay that money back. So help, I'm not sure what kind of help it is and how it's going to improve conditions for our people.
Well, Ken and I have some shades of difference. I actually don't believe that the war is drawing to an ebb. Quite the contrary, I believe the war will extend further into Afghanistan, create more devastation, and very likely, at least the Bush administration is making powerful overtures into extending it into Iraq, and we don't know the situation with Yemen, Somalia, Sudan, etc. So within this context, with Pakistan being in such a vulnerable position with its controversy over Kashmir with India, what do you think we need to do and understand about how to balance or present to the American public our concerns about the volatility of that entire area of the world?
That's a big question, but let me try to respond to that. I think, first of all, as far as United States war against Afghanistan or terrorism is concerned, the agenda is not very clear, and that scares us and scares the Pakistanis, because we keep saying this is step one and we are going to go after terrorists or whoever is harboring terrorists, and it's never been clarified who are the countries who are harboring terrorists. So we feel particularly threatened that maybe Pakistan is next, and it could be somehow said that Pakistan is harboring terrorists. So we do not really know the agenda of this war, although our government tends to be supporting the U.S. government in this endeavor. So this is one level. And a second level, of course, is that India, Pakistan, and Kashmir, there is this conflict that we have, and this is an old conflict. It needs to be resolved. We are not taking position, at least the workers do not really want to take a position that it should be with Pakistan or with India or how. We are only saying that it should be resolved, and its resolution, maybe the opinion of the people of Kashmir must be taken into account. And the American government and American people must lean upon Pakistan and India to say to it that war is not a solution of things. We are already very poor countries, and we would very much like, as citizens of Pakistan, and of course I'm sure in India also, we certainly like that we can resolve these issues and get on with improving the quality of life. And I have a lot of exchange with Indian friends and brothers and activists who are on the other side of the border, and we agree on these issues. We think that we are the two poorest countries now in the world, and we are poor because we invested a lot of money into armaments, which of course helps some of the armament producing countries, including the United States. So I think now we must learn that if there is not peace and harmony in that part of the world, it's going to threaten peace and harmony in other parts of the world. And it's a global village now, and we must ensure that there is prosperity, improvement in quality of life of people, and there is peace, and there is justice and judicious distribution of resources. And I think as far as the U.S. war is concerned, it's important to recognize the agenda of this war. Is this war because the economic situation in the United States is bad, or is this war that we are going after a criminal, or is this war because we want to have control over oil? I think for countries it's justified to have war for whatever reason, but I think it would be good if they are stated.
A lot of people still assume that while the third world is poor, things are somehow getting better. Are things getting better? I mean, are things getting worse? Say over the last 5 years, 10 years, how have things been progressing or not in Pakistan?
I think this is an interesting question. Worse or better? Quality of life-wise, maybe it is getting better, but economically it is getting worse. And quality of life, I mean that, okay, people have access to good food, people have access to clothes, people have access to shelter, people have access to some kind of transportation and recreation. But certainly there are not the same number of cars, or we don't have so many refrigerators or internet connections or high education. And if we really look at sustainability of the earth or the world, we sometimes tend to look at it, this could be an advantage. But certainly we feel that resources that Pakistan has and the resources that Pakistan generates are somehow whisked away. And the Pakistani people, 140 million people who live there, do not get the advantage of the benefits that can accrue from those raw materials and resources. And when they are whisked away, they are value added in other countries, and then our country has to buy them back at much more exorbitant prices. From that way, it seems to be going in the wrong direction. But I'm hopeful, because in the process, we have not destroyed our environment, we are not using too much of energy, fuel is still very expensive, $2 a gallon, there are not so many cars, we are not destroying environment, we are not cutting our forests down, although we don't have large forests. So from that point of view, things are becoming better. But from an personal individual population's consumption point of view, of course the capacity is reducing. And of course another thing that is not good is that the difference between the haves and the have-nots within Pakistan is increasing tremendously.
Now, you are a labor videographer. You bring two wonderful things together, which is advocacy for the labor movement and certainly creativity and art. We, again, have very little understanding. Aside from perhaps in New York, a film that was shown recently, and that one actually was made by, I believe, an Iraqi about Afghanistan, that was Kandahar, which got a great deal of emotion in terms of interest. Tell us a little bit about your own endeavors to bring the issues of the labor movement, to document them, to bring them out, and help us understand more about that area of the world, not to mention redoing the deck, which is Bush going to actually do? That was one of the promises that got Pakistan on board for this war.
Yes, this is an interesting question, and I think I should go back a little bit to your earlier question also about the start of the labor movement in Pakistan. I combined that, I forgot about that. The labor movement in Pakistan has been actually promoted by, it has been there for a very long time, and all those people who promoted labor movement at that time was considered communists, and communist was a very bad word at that time. And so the general public had been little scared, and the workers who came from little religious backgrounds were very scared to be associated with the communists. So there has been a difficult task to mobilize trade unions and to understand that organization for strengthening your own position and asking for a better quality of life and to be able to produce in a congenial, harmonious, safe environment is a birthright of every human being. But that's why it is, organizing has been a little difficult. And these are the areas that we actually capture on video. We want to promote what organization is, what collective decision making is, what making decision about your own workplace is, what making decisions together about your work situation is, about salary, about wages, about medical conditions, and so on and so forth. And we try to capture that on video. Also, we want educational videos, which means to explain to people how, what is our legislation say about rights of human beings and workers to associate themselves and organize themselves in trade union. Where do we go and register ourselves with trade union? How do we resolve conflicts, and which institutions and labor courts must we address to or go to if we get into trouble with employers? So this has been more educational, and I think there is a little bit of creativity in the sense that they are live documentaries. It's not stage set up, or it is not studio filming. It is filming on location, it's discussions, it's workshops, and then of course shown to people, and people tend to identify much more strongly, and this is a very good medium because most of our colleagues in within the worker movement are unable to read or write. So an audio media or a video media is a very, very good medium to exchange information and educate each other.
What does the future hold for the Pakistani workers? What's on their agenda, particularly at this difficult, painful period of time where the greater impoverishment of the population is as whole, and probably even more of a stranglehold now by a dictatorship over the country?
That's a very interesting question. We've had democratic governments, and we have been disappointed by them. We certainly have never supported military dictatorships, and the experience of previous military dictatorships have been very, very bad for us. And we have now a military dictator who seems to be, and we find ourselves in conflict with our own ideas, that we tend to kind of support him and justify him for the time being, because we were horrified by the fact if there was somebody else at the moment, what terrible things would happen. But nevertheless, we are not saying that we are overlooking our intention to push for democracy and quick return to democracy in Pakistan. Having said that, the present government is in workers' movement, and the reason for that is that there are a few forces in Pakistan. One of the forces is, of course, the religious fanatic forces, and there are forces which are elitist forces, and there are forces which are liberal progressive forces, and trade unions is one of the part of these liberal progressive forces. At the moment, the present government needs the support of these progressive forces, and there is a minister for labor who actually comes from an NGO sector, this non-governmental sector, and has experience in development in the rural areas. So he has been attending a lot of trade union functions now and making very, very good positive speeches. We have now possibilities of medical coverage for employees and so on and so forth. But the problem really is that there is no democracy within our trade unions, and that is an area of concern. And I think trade unions do not automatically strengthen themselves, or we cannot, by just adding numbers, they don't become strong. Trade unions, in my opinion, in our country, will become strong when each member of a trade union can identify with an agenda which leads to the improvement of quality of life, and can also show roadmaps that how it would happen. And then these people would have influence over the leadership, and the leadership can be changed or strengthened by the vote of these people. And I think putting democracy within trade union is going to lead us to a positive situation.
The way I'm interpreting your answer was that there's a certain amount of instability in Pakistan, and for the current time, the government is doing things to strengthen the trade union movement for that reason. Could you expand on that question of instability? And also, right now, as I understand it, there's only about 3-5% of the workers in Pakistan who are in trade unions. Are they making it easier to join trade unions?
First, instability, yes. The instability is because General Musharraf's decision to align itself with the United States, although supported by kind of majority, but there was an opposition to that also by the fanatic religious elements. And Musharraf had been saying that this is going to be a short war, there's not going to be any bombing during Ramadan, and the Northern Alliance would not enter Kabul. So whatever, for whatever reason, whatever happened, all these three things have been proven wrong, which makes his situation and position much more dicey. So that's the instability that is there. Although now when Taliban have been tremendously weakened, there seems to be less support for them in Pakistan also. And it is understood that this support was actually spearheaded by people who had come from Afghanistan and were refugees in Pakistan. But the economic situation, the social situation, the law and order situation, those situations are still something that the present government has to grapple with. There's a difficulty in that situation. Having said that, just now the economic situation is so bad that the government must go to trade unions and appease them, otherwise trade unions are going to come back at them very hard. So I think one of the reasons that this present government is kind of supportive of trade unions is because they know that there is a time bomb in this, and if they don't do anything, something terrible would happen. And that's probably one of the reasons why privatization of the many national institutions has been at least delayed, if not put into the cold storage.
Interestingly enough, the AFL-CIO here doesn't seem to have the same perspective, that if they don't appease, if they don't deal with the trade union movements, that we are a ticking time bomb and should strike out in support of the working class. But that not with...
Well, I wonder why not. I don't think we are a ticking time bomb.
Well, that's probably why, Ken Nash. Maghboob Bavri, thank you. You are a labor videographer, you're a human rights activist, you're a sensitive and bright gentleman, and you are from Pakistan. We thank you very much for speaking with us on Building Bridges in Exile.
But one more thing. Let's give an email address to those that might want to get in contact with you, or perhaps even at some point see your work, be able to contact you.
Well, I'm in Pakistan, and my email is maxbabri@hotmail.com. So one more time, maxbabri@hotmail.com. So that was maxbabri@hotmail.com. I also wish to thank you and Mimi for this wonderful opportunity to talk to you.
And this is Building Bridges, your community and labor reporting in exile with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. New York City unions and immigrants' rights organizations came together in a press conference to renew their calls for justice for immigrant workers who lost jobs or loved ones in the World Trade Center disaster. The meeting was held at the headquarters of the Building Services Workers Union, Local 32BJ, which itself lost 24 members who worked at the World Trade Center, one of whom was undocumented.
The keynote speaker was Hector Figueroa, Secretary Treasurer of Local 32BJ, Service Employees International Union.
The fabric of our country is made stronger by the daily labor of immigrant workers. As the World Trade Center attack revealed, we are more a part of this country than many people imagine. Among the countless victims as well as the countless heroes of the World Trade Center attack were immigrant workers, both documented and undocumented. And we feel that it's very important that the entire community and our elected officials realize that these workers are in immediate need of assistance, and that also the entire country realizes again that the attack of September 11 cannot postpone what was becoming a critical agenda in this country, which was the legalization of undocumented workers. We have four basic calls for action. The first one is that we believe that the victims of the Trade Center, the family members of all those who work there, deserve, have earned the right to get as much assistance as possible and to be immediately granted citizenship or legal status, depending on the family's preferences, as a result of the attack. We believe that this is the humane thing to do. We believe that that's the right thing to do, and it will send a very strong message that the plight and the labor of those workers will not be ignored. We, in particular, feel very happy that Senator Corzine has introduced a bill in the Senate to take care of the legal residents who were in the process of becoming citizens and seeking the granting of citizenship immediately to those families. That will help those families to get benefits. We're also calling Congress to adopt measures that go beyond the legal residents and consider as well the plight of the undocumented workers. So we feel very happy that there is a measure of progress, and we feel that with the opening of the Corsine bill, maybe much more will be done to take care of all who were affected by this tragedy. We also call for expansion of eligibility of unemployment insurance and other programs to immigrants who have been impacted by this tragedy. Thousands of immigrant workers have been displaced, along with many other workers from the trade center, some of whom are here today, and they will be part of this event as well. We believe that we need to extend unemployment insurance for all the workers in New York. We believe that all the workers in New York deserve the money that have been promised to them. We believe that the game that is happening in Washington should end, and immediate assistance should come here to our city. And we believe that as part of that assistance, immigrant workers should also be recipients of aid. The third call that we have is to end the discrimination against immigrant workers. The security measures that have been legislated have a somewhat implicit bias that portrays immigrants as not trustworthy or as a threat or an inconvenience to our national security. We believe that immigrant workers have been toiling and contributing to the wealth of this country and making our neighborhoods and communities better and more secure, and they should not be the scapegoat of any act of making our city, our country safer. So we also denounce any kind of bias or discrimination that is happening as a result of the attack of September 11th, particularly with our Muslim and Arab brothers and sisters, but towards every immigrant. Finally, and foremost, we believe that before September 11th, community organizations, labor advocacy groups, religious leaders have been able to convene and build a very strong movement for amnesty, for legalization of undocumented workers in this country. Our local union is very proud to be part of that movement. But we also have seen how it has taken a backseat the demands and the needs of legalization, and that in Washington, there is a very cold air towards anything that has to do with that issue. We are here to state that the attack on September 11 was an attack on all workers in America. More than 80 countries suffered losses in the Trade Center. More than just citizens lost lives in the Trade Center. We had both documented and undocumented workers who were lost. In our union alone, we lost 24 members, one of which we have found was undocumented. And that's just one union. When we look at the totality of the working population in the Trade Center, it involves everybody who is part of America, documented, citizen, undocumented. So we call again for legalization of undocumented workers to be back on the political agenda. We call on our elected officials to have the courage of standing together and standing up for the right of undocumented workers. And we believe that in the current climate, if we all work together and remind of the heroism of our immigrant workers, we'll understand why legalization can no longer be postponed. So this is what we're convening here today. We're going to be hearing from workers themselves. This is an event that is being sponsored by many organizations, most notably, in addition to our Union 32BJ, we also have UNITE, we have Local 100 of the hotel workers, Asociación Tepeyac, which has a very large number of workers here being represented in the audience. We have the National Immigration Coalition, the Coalition of Human Rights of Immigrants, which started this part for this event. And we also have many other organizations, including the support of the Central Labor Council of New York and also the New York State FL-CIO. Labor is behind this initiative. Let's get back to put immigrant rights on the agenda, and let's start by doing justice to the immigrant workers who suffer at the World Trade Center. I'd like to introduce now a worker from Local 32BJ, who's been also an advocate in Washington for the rights of all workers who have been affected by the Trade Center tragedy. Mariola Yabosca.
My name is Mariola Yabosca. I came to America 13 years ago 12 years I am the member of UNIA. First 6 years I was in legal, so everybody who is in legal in this country I can understand very well. How is this? In the beginning nobody asked for a green card, nobody asked are you legal or not, and they let us get in, they let us work. And I got this job, I got the membership. After a while, people start checking who is legal, who is not. So I know what that means to be afraid that maybe they will come, they will ask me about my green card, which I don't have, of course. And I think that people who lose a job like me, I used to work for 7 World Trade Centers, 12 years, and of course building collapsed and I lost my job. Now I am legal, but some of us are still illegal. They need help, especially on this situation. And with the building, few things collapsed. Collapsed my dream. I had a dream. After 13 years of work here, I decided to buy a house. I didn't want to live in an apartment anymore, so I decided to buy a house. It's impossible now. I am on unemployment. I can't think about my house no more. Maybe everything will finish. Maybe one day I will go back to work. And maybe I will continue think about my dream. But I think that it's going to happen because we have a union. We still have a benefits. We still have a health program. We still have a protector who won't let us collapse like those buildings. First day when I saw what happened, I was so shocked. I thought, gosh, I will have to start again. Again, like before, 13 years ago, coming here with one suitcase. I did it, but I don't want to do this again. I thought that this is over, but it's not. We got the union. We got the union who helped us. We got the company who let us get some money. I am on welfare, and I got special help, financial help from union, and my situation is not that bad like I thought. I can survive. We got many, many benefits still. We don't work, we don't pay for our benefits. Company don't pay for our benefits. Union pay. We can see a doctor, we can live normal life. It's, of course, it's not normal. It's stressful. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to be finished. But union is here for you guys. I know that. I know that. I find out this. And I want to say thank you to my union, and I wish you guys luck to find the people who will protect you. And I also want to tell you that no matter what, no matter how sad is the situation, no matter how stressful we feel, I think that Christmas, which is coming, is going to be good for all of us. And I wish you Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Mi nombre es Oscar Rojas.
Oscar Rojas.
He estado trabajando aquí durante 12 años en este país.
I've been working for 12 years in this country.
Hasta el día del atentado del 11 de septiembre.
Until the disaster of September 11.
Trabajaba en el restaurante Edward Mora.
I worked in the restaurant Edward Mora.
Pero ahorita el restaurante está todo destruido.
But the restaurant is now destroyed.
Como indocumentado, no puedo recibir la asistencia federal que el gobierno está dando a las instituciones como son FEMA,
to the institutions that's FEMA,
employment, desempleo,
the unemployment benefits,
Social Security y Medicaid.
And Medicaid.
Esto no nada más me pasa a mí, sino a miles y miles de indocumentados.
This is not only happening to me, but thousands and thousands of undocumented workers
que se encuentran en la misma situación que yo.
That are facing the same situation such as myself.
Hemos ido a pedir ayuda y nos las han negado definitivamente.
We have requested assistance and it has been denied.
Porque nos dicen que no tenemos los papeles necesarios para poder recibir la ayuda.
Because they claim we don't have the necessary papers to receive this assistance.
Tuve la suerte de no perder la vida en la tragedia.
I was lucky enough not to lose my life in the tragedy.
Porque si eso hubiera pasado, hubiera yo dejado a mi esposa e hijos desamparados.
Because if that would have been the case, I would have left my family and my kids without a father.
Ya que mi esposa y uno de mis hijos
my wife and one of my kids
no son legales en este país.
Are not documented in this country.
Yo me imagino que hubiera pasado, la verdad.
I can imagine what would have happened.
En esta situación, le doy gracias a Asociación Tepeyá por la ayuda que nos han brindado.
In this situation, I thank the Asociación Tepeyá for all the assistance they have provided us.
A la Cruz Roja.
The Red Cross.
A Salvation Army.
The Salvation Army.
Y a Safe Horizon.
And Safe Horizons.
Las ayudas que nos han dado nos han servido para sobrevivir en esta situación.
The help that they have provided has helped us to maintain us in this situation.
Aunque han llegado tarde los cheques,
although the checks have been late to arrive,
pero nos han servido demasiado.
But they have helped a great deal.
Es por eso que yo le pido al Congreso de los Estados Unidos,
that's why I'm asking the Congress of the United States,
que nos tomen en cuenta,
to take notice of us,
que nos concedan de una vez o por fin la residencia,
to grant us once thing for all the permanent residency,
para poder trabajar legalmente en este país y seguir portando lo que el país se merece.
So we can work legally in this country and continue to contribute what this country deserves.
Yo pienso que todos unidos podemos hacer la fuerza.
I think that we all united can become very strong.
Y si apoyamos a las organizaciones,
and if we support the organizations,
podemos hacer que la unión triunfe.
We can make that this union triumphs.
Para poder trabajar legal y poder viajar a nuestros países,
so we can legally work and travel freely to our countries,
visitar a los nuestros,
to visit our families,
y cruzar legal sin tener problemas de perder la vida en la frontera.
And to come again to the country without risking our lives entering the borders.
Bueno, hasta ahorita eso es todo. Quiero que luchemos por lo que en verdad yo pienso que ya nos merecemos todos los indocumentados.
This is it for all, and I want to stress that we should fight for what is the point of the undocumented.
Y la unión hace la fuerza, compañeros.
My name is Sherry Kane, and I'm the communications director for Local 2325 Unite. We represent garment workers, mostly downtown. I'm here to introduce Agnes Wong. She's a member of Local 2325 and has been for many, many, many years. She's been a seamstress for nearly 30 years in Chinatown. She's the vice chair of our executive board. She's been an active member in our organizing struggles, in our contract negotiations, in our efforts to fight against sweatshops, and to improve the conditions in the garment industry. Agnes Wong.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Agnes Wong. I'm a garment worker in New York City, Chinatown. The garment industry employs about 60,000 immigrant workers in New York City. And our industry was one of the hardest hit after September 11. Dozens of factories have closed, and thousands of workers are unemployed, and I am unemployed now. Everyone's biggest concern is that we are losing our health insurance. Our union jobs provide health insurance for most of the families in our communities. We are now involved in a New Year campaign that encourages consumers to buy clothing produced in New Year's Union factories. We hope that campaign will get manufacturers to put more work in the factories so that we can keep our jobs with health benefits. Unite. Produce a shopper's guide look like here. For everyone interested in finding out more about our campaign, we are living in New York. New York City is our home. This soil we stand, we love it. We must do something to help the immigrant workers here. It's awful. everybody can feel and know. We hope the new mayor will support immigrant workers in New York City. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Carol De Leon, and I'm with CAB Organizing Asian Communities. I'm here also on behalf of domestic workers. Before September 11, too many of you are perhaps familiar with the working condition of the women of color face every day working in the domestic setting. We work long hours for low wages, often far below minimum wage, without job security, no overtime pay, many without vacation or national holidays, without health care or even sick days. Domestic workers' average hour on a day-to-day basis are 13 hours per day. Without overtime, no use of phone or meal where you can sit down and rest. Working under constant surveillance with cameras throughout the home and in the bathrooms. Being told 5 minutes before you leave from work that your employer will be 3 hours delayed to come home. While your own children are sitting at home waiting for dinner with their mother. We had no control of our living and working condition. There was no standards by which working conditions were established or determined. We estimate at least 5,000 of domestic workers lost their jobs or have been displaced due to either damage to the luxury residential areas of Battery Park cities and Tribeca or their employers lost of work. Even more workers lost their income in the initial shock of the event. Approximately 60% of our memberships work in directly affected area, and when they went to relief centers, they were told, "You're just a nanny. You can find a job anywhere else." I'd like to share with you my experience when I went to Pier 94 with one of our members. We both had our hopes high on that particular day. We thought after having our IDs was checked a dozen of times, it will be a lot easier to pick which one of the relief centers we would be able to approach for relief. We hope in the same day she'll receive some help. Just to mention a few, she's one of the bravest of our members to try seek relief at the Pier 94. Majority of the members are afraid to seek relief because of their immigration status. Going back to Pier 94, we first approached Vape Horizon, and we are waited in the long line for an hour, only to be given a slip to come back a week later. Then someone told us if we are seeking immediate relief, we could go to Red Cross. It was 1:30 p.m., and I was completely annoyed, frustrated, hungry with the system that I have seen in Pier 94. It was like, I asked myself, are you kidding me? Immediate relief? Isn't anyone here are not looking for immediate relief? So anyway, we approached Red Cross. Jane D. signed up and was told to go here and there before her name was called. She was called. I sat down next to her quietly. She was asked to fill a form and was questioned about where she was working, her work address, does she have social security number, pay stubs, identification of employment. Obviously, being undocumented, she does not have one. It was an excruciating day, as if like she was interrogated by the FBI for committing a big crime, where in fact she was a victim of the World Trade Center catastrophe, only was there to seek basic relief to survive while she finds another job. The Red Cross ask another question. If JNB knows her employer's siblings or parents' home phone number, so they can place a call to inquire if she had cared for the 5-year-old daughter of a couple who lived on Church Street just off Chambers and worked near World Trade Center. I thought, you know, I'm playing this back in my head, that I thought that was the most stupid question someone asked seeking relief. I mean, does anyone know your employers or your siblings or your employer's parents' home phone number? Then she was told, well, as a nanny, you can find job in Manhattan or in Midtown Manhattan or Upper East Side. Then I have to butt in. Are you kidding me? Excuse me. Don't you think people who work for ABC Corporation can find job anywhere else? It took longer than it should have for Red Cross to be persuaded by his reasoning. An accountant or financial consultant at ABC Corporation could also be told to go back for look for a job elsewhere rather than seek disaster relief. Jane's last resort, as of many in her situation, has been Asociacion Tapayac, normally an organization for Mexican migrant laborers, but it had been a relief center to any immigrant workers suffering in the September 11 aftermath. I wonder how many undocumented workers who had been turned away seeking disaster relief. I can only say, being undocumented, who had been directly or indirectly impacted of 9/11, triple, perhaps quadruple times victimized because they are undocumented. I would like to share with you what are the undocumented face, even though before 9/11 and even now after 9/11. Undocumented oftentimes work in the most unregulated industries, where people of color and immigrants are working, are not only the industries where workers are routinely exploited and exist below the radar of regulation, they are also industries which are characterized as unskilled. Sure. Sorry. Work no one else wants to do. Today, we are here to commemorate the International Migrant Days. As crucial as it was before 9/11, it was even crucially greater now to call for amnesty. On behalf of CAB, we demand for unconditional general legalization so that undocumented would have to suffer further abuse in times like 9/11. Thank you.
Good morning. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Asmar Ali. I was a captain at Windows on the World, also a shop steward for Local 100 of the HERE Local 100. I'd like to thank 32BJ and Mr. Hector Figueroa for inviting us here. The reason I'm here, and I'm most like all others, I was born in Bangladesh, but I'm an American Muslim, and I've been living here since 1972. There are many, many Muslims here, and there were some that worked at Windows on the World. We had some undocumented Muslims that were working at Windows on the World. They are so afraid that one of my co-workers, the following week after September 11th, was so afraid of being hunted and prosecuted that he decided to go back home. There are many, many other Muslims. They're afraid of backlash. They're afraid to come forward because they feel not only that they're getting public backlash, that also governmental backlash. They're afraid to approach government for citizenship or even to get help from any government agencies. And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce Ms. Khadija Traore. Her husband, Mr. Kareem Traore, worked at Windows on the World, and he was a shop steward for a very long time. And also her translator, Mr. Mamdou Feka, who also is a shop steward for Local 100. Thank you.
Bonjour, messieurs, dames. Excusez-moi du français. Je m'appelle Khadija Traore.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Khadija Traore.
J'ai 31 ans. Okay. Maintenant, j'ai 31 ans. Je viens de la Côte d'Ivoire. Mon mari aussi vient de la Côte d'Ivoire.
I'm 31. I come from Côte d'Ivoire and my husband too.
Okay. Mon mari travaille à Windows and World. 5 ans de cela.
My husband works at Windows and World.
Et j'ai 3 enfants avec mon mari, une en Côte d'Ivoire et 2 enfants ici.
I have 3 kids with my husband and one in Côte d'Ivoire.
Ce que je voudrais maintenant, mon mari a trop travaillé en Windows and World. Il quittait le matin de 3h du matin à 3h de l'après-midi.
What would I like now? My husband worked very hard at Windows and World. He has 2 jobs. He left at 3 a.m. home and he come back at 6 p.m.
Son rêve maintenant était de travailler, d'avoir une belle maison et de rester heureuse avec sa famille.
All he wants is to have a nice house and live peacefully with his family.
Et que d'avoir la green card, le papier légal aussi.
And to be legal in this country.
Malheureusement, il n'a pas eu ses rêves. Cet accident a été fait le 11 septembre 2001.
But all his dreams are died with him when he died on 9/11 at the World Trade Center.
Okay. Maintenant, ce que je voudrais, j'aime ce pays comme mon mari l'a fait. Il a aimé ce pays et il a quitté la Côte d'Ivoire et venu ici. Donc, moi aussi, j'aimerais ce pays pour rester ici et rester avec les enfants ici aussi.
All I want now is that what my husband wants. He comes to this country, he want to be legal, he want to live in this country, and I want to be legal here too.
Maintenant, je demande les autorités si je peux avoir les papiers. Ça va me plaire parce que ma fille est en Côte d'Ivoire et je ne peux pas la voir parce que je n'ai pas les papiers.
All I want now is to have my green card or be legal so I can go and see my daughter back home because she cannot come here and they cannot travel to go see her there.
Parce que je n'ai pas les papiers et je ne peux pas avoir de bons travaux aussi sans ces papiers-là.
And without my papers or green card, I cannot work and have a decent job.
C'est ce que je voudrais dire. Bon, je remercie tout le monde, surtout le Local 100, pour tout ce qu'ils ont fait pour moi et les organisations qui m'ont aidé. Je remercie tout le monde. Et ce que je voudrais pour rester dans ce pays, rester avec les enfants, avoir des bons papiers et rester avec les enfants.
That's all I want to say, and I thank Local 100 for helping me a lot, and all the other charity at the organization. And all I wish is it's to have my green card so I can stay here with my family and bring my daughter here to live with us.
Tout mon rêve est maintenant d'aider avoir les papiers pour faire revenir ma fille qui s'appelle Genevieve Traoré, qui vit en Côte d'Ivoire maintenant, qui a envie de me voir et envie d'avoir ses frères aussi.
My dream is to reunite with my daughter that she is in Côte d'Ivoire. She never saw her brothers here in the United States, and I just want her to come here and see them and live together.
Et qui n'a jamais vu son papa depuis qu'elle est née aussi.
She never seen her father since she was born.
Donc ce que je voudrais pour qu'elle vienne ici et rester ici à New York, situe à New York. J'aime ce pays très très bien. Je n'ai pas eu de problème depuis que je suis venue. Ici, avec mon mari, il n'a pas eu de problème aussi jusqu'à ce que l'accident arrive le 11 septembre.
I like this country and my husband too. Since we come to this country, we love it. We never had no problem before or after. I want to stay here. I want to bring my daughter here.
Okay, merci. Je remercie tout le monde. Je remercie l'autorité, les gens de New York. Je remercie tout le monde et Local 100 aussi. Je les remercie très très bien.
Thank you very much, and I thank. Again, Local 100 and all the authority here in New York and all people of New York. We love them.
So you heard all the stories of the workers, their testimony, and as Mariola said at the beginning, more than towers came down, dreams were lost. We need to make sure that those dreams are recovered and that we can continue to make America be the place where you can really work for yourself in your place here and be able to realize the American dream. So legalization now, immediate assistance to the World Trade Center families. We want now to introduce Rabbi Michael Feinberg from the Labor Religion Coalition.
Buenos dias, good morning. I first would like to say that I'm here representing some 600 clergy from across the city of all faith traditions, and we want to recognize and salute the courage and heroism and dedication in the stories of the workers that we've just heard. It's fitting that we gather this morning for the UN International Migrants Day, which falls during this holiday season of conscience, the holidays of Hanukkah, today during Eid al-Fitr, the end of Ramadan, and the run-up to Christmas and Kwanzaa. For this is a season of hope, a season of peace, a season of goodwill toward all humanity. Moreover, it's a season of hospitality and welcome. From our faith traditions and central to them is the demand to uphold the rights of what in the Hebrew scriptures, my scripture calls the ger, the stranger who lives in our midst. In the Hebrew Bible, we are told no less than 36 times that Jews should love the stranger, the ger toshav, the resident alien who today is the immigrant worker who lives with us and among us in our communities. We are commanded, you shall neither wrong a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And we find similar ethical imperatives to protect and respect the immigrant in both Islam and Christianity. As religious leaders and people of faith, we stand with the strangers in our midst, the immigrant workers, both documented, who have done and continue to do so much to build this city, to build this nation. Against the rising tide of anti-immigrant sentiment and legislation, today, as religious leaders, we say clearly, immigrants are not criminals. Immigrants are the strength of this nation. Immigrants are the future of this nation. And in solidarity, we say, we are all immigrants. We declare urgently the need to protect the full range of immigrant human and civil rights, including the regularization of their status. This would allow them and their families to live in security in the United States, free from fear, from harassment and exploitation, to contribute as they do, but now as citizens, fully, as workers, with the rich diversity of their faith traditions, languages and cultures which build this nation. As a nation of immigrants, we need to welcome them, to legitimize them through an amnesty program, to respect them, to appreciate their contributions and to uphold their rights for all they have given to this country at tremendous cost and sacrifice, even tragically, as we have heard, for the loss of the lives of immigrant workers killed at the World Trade Center. It is this, the very least, that we as a nation owe them, and what's more, owe ourselves, in remaining faithful to both our core democratic principles as a nation and to our faith traditions. And I'd like to wish you all happy holidays and a new year of peace and justice for all immigrants. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Dean James Morton, and I'm here wearing two hats. One, that I'm was the dean of the Cathedral of St. John the Divine for 25 years, and that's the cathedral that was on fire this morning. Yeah, terrible fire. And also, the other hat is the Interfaith Center, which is the organization that's been so involved for the last 5 years, but so intensely involved with the different religious communities of New York after 9/11. We had a two-day meeting just on immigrants' rights last week, and I want to express very simply the solidarity of the different religious communities of New York, the solidarity of the Interfaith Center of New York, and the solidarity of the Episcopal Diocese of New York, which is the cathedral, and the only reason the bishop isn't here this morning is he's with the firemen right now as they put out that fire. But these terrible things that happen also can bring light. And the light is that New York is based on immigrants' work. And all of our faith traditions are based on justice for all people. And so it's unjust for people who are working and making the World Trade Center's great centers of commerce and great centers of money and great centers of livelihood, that those workers, documented, undocumented, but those workers have justice. And so we're committed to this immunity. God bless all of you.
My name is Jose Peralta, and I am here on behalf of President Brian McLaughlin, who's the president of the Central Labor Council, who represents 1.5 million union men and women. He's not here today because he had a conflict in schedule, but he did want me to read a few words. My message today is simple, and it is made up of 3 points: remembrance, unity, and resurgence. Remembrance, because we need to remember those who died tragically on September 11th at the World Trade Center. Many have been profiled regarding their tragic stories, but none is more tragic than having a story and not being able to tell it due to fear of deportation. And that's what many undocumented immigrants have faced throughout this tragedy. Unity, because in unity there is strength, and we need every ounce of strength that we can muster, because the sentiments out in the streets are not positive regarding immigrants, and discrimination is running rapid. We need to unite, brothers and sisters, and send a positive message to Congress and other elected officials, as well as to the public, as we're doing today, that not every immigrant is a terrorist. In fact, 99.9% are hardworking, law-abiding, and pay taxes. Resurgence, because we must continue the good fight that we were part of before September 11th. Before the tragedy, we were on course to achieve a historic mark in ensuring that immigrants receive their fair share of their American dream. But all of those hopes and dreams evaporated with the tragedy. And now is the time, brothers and sisters, that we must resurge and bring back our fight for legalization. And now is the time that we must be proactive and not reactive, and reach out to those in government who can help immigrants tell their stories and achieve something that they and all of us originally came to America for, a piece of the American dream. Because if not now, then when? So again, brothers and sisters, my message is simple: remembrance, unity, and resurgence. And today, we're living this message because we're here in remembrance, we're here in resurgence, and most importantly, we're here united.
This is Building Bridges, your community and labor reporting in exile with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. We regularly broadcast over internet radio, WBAI in exile, www.wbix.org, that's www.wbix.org, on Tuesday evenings from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can visit our website to hear archived copies of special programs. That's on www.buildingbridgesradio.org. And you can contact us at knash@igc.org. For Building Bridges, this is Ken Nash with Mimi Rosenberg in solidarity.